Good morning. Welcome to you all on this Palm Sunday, and welcome to those who are visitors. We hope and pray that you enjoy being with us today. Welcome also to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory the great Palm Sunday hymn, hymn 364, 364, All Glory, Lord and Honour.
Thank you.
The call to prayer comes from the psalm for this Palm Sunday, Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is wonderful in our eyes. Let us pray. King of kings, yet servant of all, we worship you. Lord of lords, yet broken for all, we praise you. Giver of life, yet dying for all, we honour you. Blessed is he who comes in the Lord's name. Hosanna in the highest. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day you entered Jerusalem, and the people welcomed you. We welcome you too, and with all your people the world over, we gladly proclaim that you are our great and gracious King. Holy Spirit of God, at work in the world and in our lives, you seek to create within each one of us the mind of Christ. And you prompt us to daily take up our cross, that we might follow in the footsteps of our Saviour, even to Jerusalem. We confess with shame. We are often distracted by the things of this world. We acknowledge that, like those who welcomed Jesus on Palm Sunday with their cheers, yet who within days turned against him, our commitment can also be fickle. And we admit that when you overturn our expectations and do not do what we want you to do, we can, like your first followers, distance ourselves from you. Blessed One, forgive us. Redeemer King, have mercy upon us. Lord Jesus Christ, as we wait before you on this Palm Sunday, grant us a deeper understanding of the Messiah you are. As we look to you lowly and riding on a donkey, help us to appreciate the immensity of your love. And as we endeavour to follow you even to the cross, direct the course of our lives, that in good times and in bad, we may stand by you, the one who, though rejected, is the main cornerstone and is worthy of all glory, laud, and honour. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As many of you know, we had a holiday club last week in the parish halls. Whilst the number of children was not as great as we would have hoped for, I'm very pleased to say that the children who came fully engaged in all the activities and group work, and they seemed to enjoy themselves. They certainly enjoyed the snacks that they got each morning. It was really a joy just to see the children there being happy. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you to those who came along and gave of their time on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. We enter Holy Week with our service today here for Palm Sunday. And then each evening this coming week, there'll be services at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, we are invited to St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church for the Stations of the Cross. That's at 7. On Tuesday, we go to Park Church, Wednesday the North, and then on Monday, Thursday, there'll be a communion service here in the old parish. And then on Good Friday, we go to St. Mark's. Now, each service will be followed by a time of fellowship and donations of baking for the fellowship after the Thursday evening service would be very welcome and can be left at the parish halls this Thursday between 2 and 4. Next Sunday is, of course, Easter Day, with a service at 7:30 in King's Park, 7:30 a.m. I look forward to seeing you all there. I'll be giving the welcome, so I'll be looking out for you. And then here at 10:30, we've got our family service, again followed by fellowship in the parish hall. So we look forward to these services this Holy Week and then on Easter Day. Have you noticed that in comics, superheroes often have a cape? Isn't that true? How many of them, like Superman or Wonder Woman, they've got a cape? Maybe you made a cape yourself when you were young, did you? Maybe you won't admit to that. Maybe you put your arms together and kicked it on, you were flying through the air like some of these superheroes with your cape on. In Jesus' day, it wasn't capes that the people had, it was cloaks. But they were similar to capes in that they were loose-fitting outer garments. And on the day that became known as Palm Sunday, some people did something strange with their cloaks. Normally, the cloak would be used to protect people from the wind and the sand blowing in the desert or the hot desert sun. But on Palm Sunday, some of the people did something different with their cloaks. Firstly, two of Jesus' disciples put their cloaks onto a donkey that Jesus then sat on. And Jesus rode on that donkey from a village called Bethphage to Jerusalem. Perhaps they did it just to make the journey that wee bit easier and more comfortable for Jesus. But then when Jesus arrived at the city, a lot of people took their cloaks off and they placed them in the ground before him. Now, why did they do that? It was a mark of great respect. It was their way of welcoming and honouring Jesus, not as a rabbi, not as a miracle worker or teacher. It was their way of welcoming and honouring Jesus as their king. However, as we know, the welcome and the honour didn't last long. Within a short time, the cheers turned to jeers. I wonder, on this Palm Sunday, what kind of welcome do we give to Jesus? How do we honour him? Do we give our love, commitment, and praise? And remembering that often Jesus comes in the stranger's guise, how do we welcome the poor among us and those who are different from us? And what about our cheers? How long will they last? For a day or for the rest of our lives? These are questions worth pondering as we embark on this Holy Week. We sing the hymn 367, Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
This morning's first reading comes from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2 and 19 to 29, and can be found on page 514 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40, and can be found on page 70 of the Pew Bible. Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Amen.
Thank you, Margaret. And now we sing a lovely hymn, hymn 399, hymn 399. We're going to omit verses 2 and 4. We omit verses 2 and 4 of hymn 399. My song is Love Unknown.
Thank you.
at different points in the prayer, I will say, come now. And I invite you to respond with the words, and establish your kingdom. So I'll say, come now, and you respond, and establish your kingdom. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you entered Jerusalem in triumph yet humility, to a welcome yet also rejection, to a crown but also a cross. Come now. Come afresh, we pray, to the city and to our troubled world. Bring reconciliation where there is conflict, love where there is hatred, and plenty where there is need. Come now. God with us, in life no house, no home, in death no friendly tomb, but what a stranger gave. As we acknowledge our human frailty, we pray for all whose endurance is strained by the trials that confront them. For those low in spirit due to loneliness, betrayal or rejection. For those troubled in mind or sick in body. And we pray for those who mourn, remembering especially the family and friends of Evelyn Loch. Be to them a source of comfort, strength, and peace. Come now. Lord Jesus Christ, you entered this world with your glory veiled, and the rulers of the day saw you as a threat and challenge to their position. We pray for all in positions of leadership in the world and in our country today. May those who represent us in the parliaments in London and Edinburgh not be seduced by the trappings of power or fickle popularity. Rather, may they strive to promote equality and harmony, and in so doing help to create a better and more just society. Come now. God with us as we give thanks for the great church in heaven and all who have gone before us. We pray for the church on earth and for Christians throughout the world at the beginning of Holy Week. Be with us as we journey with Christ to the cross and beyond to the empty tomb. And let us in these days commit ourselves afresh to you, the God of our salvation. Come now. In Jesus' name we offer these our prayers. Amen. Come into the streets with me, hymn 366. Tony is kindly going to play a full introduction. Hymn 366. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be famous for a day? To have people stop and look and wave when you pass by. To be driven in a limousine or horse-drawn coach from one place to another. To have others wait upon you and attend to your every need. It would be quite an experience, wouldn't it? But for most of us, it's not something that's going to happen. All we can do is wonder. Someone has suggested that the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem could be given the title, Famous for a Day. There is an air of excitement and expectation, something similar to what happens in towns and cities when a member of, for example, the royal family is to visit. People welcomed Jesus with great enthusiasm as he passed by them riding on a donkey. This, they must have thought, was going to be a Passover to remember. And it was, but not in the way they had imagined. As one day led to another, the mood changed, the enthusiasm waned, and the air of excitement and expectation gave way to one of disappointment and dismay. Jesus was not the Messiah they were looking for. And as the week progressed, the people turned against him. This week, as I said earlier, congregations in Stirling and the surrounding area will have the opportunity to gather in various churches to remember a week that for Christian people was a week that changed the world. We will journey with Jesus from this day, Palm Sunday, through to Good Friday, recalling the events and experiences he endured and gaining, I hope, a deeper appreciation of what Jesus went through for us and for the world. It is a difficult journey to make. It involves euphoria, but it also involves opposition. There is betrayal and there is denial. There is Jesus' arrest, the trial, and then the crucifixion. But difficult though the journey is, can I put it to you, it is a journey we have to make if we are to fully experience the joy and the glory and the victory of the resurrection on Easter Day. A couple of weeks ago, a number of us from the old parish and park church engaged with children from primary six in some of the local schools. It was a venture called Easter Journey. And as well as a warm-up game based on the television programme, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You remember that one? And a few sketches reenacting events that happened during Jesus' ministry, such as restoring sight to Bartimaeus, the calming of the storm at sea, and the story of the lost sheep. As well as all that, The children were but into groups. And they moved from one place to another throughout the morning or afternoon. And they learned in word and action about the events of that most holy of weeks, leading from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to Good Friday, and then to Easter morning and the discovery that the tomb was empty. The children were very attentive. Well, most of them were. But more than a few asked a question that has been asked since the first Palm Sunday. Why did the people turn against Jesus? It's a valid question to ask, and one of the answers to it, perhaps the main answer, is the people turned against Jesus because they wanted to set the agenda. They wanted Jesus to be their kind of Messiah, one who would overthrow the Romans by force and immediately make life better for them. But that was not the Messiah that Jesus came to be. It has to be said that others in Jesus' position might have allowed the adulation to go to their head and endeavour to satisfy the will of the people in order to keep them on side. For after all, who doesn't want to be popular and praised? But that was not Jesus' way. In an act of great defiance and unbelievable courage, he resisted any attempt to make his message a handmaiden to the culture or the authorities or the religion of the day. And because of that, the cry of Hosanna gave way to the shout, "Crucify him." And the euphoria and enthusiasm that welcomed him, well, it gave way to derision and mockery. It's a well-known fact that people can be fickle. They can change their tune like that. Ask any football or rugby manager or coach that question. Can people be fickle? Of course they can. If the team is doing well, the praise will flow. But when the team doesn't perform and fails to win, the praise dissipates, and he or she has to go, becomes the chant of the supporters. People can be fickle. And we see that in the crowd that welcomed Jesus and then turned against him. The reason? The people, even his disciples who had spent 3 years with him, failed to understand the kind of Messiah that he was. Can I put it to you that that still happens today? Even so-called followers of Jesus don't quite get what kind of Messiah he is. faith, they say, should surely comfort and affirm. And it does. But when it challenges and disturbs, it can be another matter and cause some to fall away. Faith, they say, should surely build up and strengthen, and it does. But when it speaks of denying oneself and loving even your enemies, it can be another matter and cause some to fall away. Faith, they say, should surely mean that all will be as we want it to be. And sometimes it is. But when things don't quite work out the way we want them to be, it can cause some to fall away. The Palm Sunday crowd, you see, they wanted Jesus to tick all the boxes on their wish list. And what is more, they wanted things to happen there and then. They couldn't take the long-term view. Instead, they wanted results immediately. Our own culture can be like that, can't it? We want things to happen at once, and technology encourages and feeds that expectation. We are rather like the man who prayed, "Lord, give me patience, and give me it now." Jesus would no doubt have been touched by the welcome he received as he entered Jerusalem. But he knew what lay ahead and what he had to do. It was going to be hard, but that would not alter his message to keep the people on board. He would not give in to the populist ideas they had of what the Messiah would be like. Instead, he remained resolute and true to why he had come into the world in the first place. And he was honest about the challenge involved in following him. It would be risky at times, but always his strength would be sufficient for his followers. There would be times of despair, but for his followers, those who placed their trust in him, hope would be reborn. There would be hardship, but always the assurance that for his followers, everything would work out in accordance with God's will. I read an article recently that made the point that people don't really do commitment these days. They may join a group or organization, but if it doesn't meet their expectations or satisfy their needs, they will give up. I wonder if the church comes into that category. As we know, the membership of the Church of Scotland is declining at an alarming pace. Many buildings are being closed, and people in general are increasingly sceptical about the place of the church in society. And this has caused some within the church to lose heart and to wonder, what does the future hold? I can understand that. But my friends, remember the experience of the disciples. As they watched the events of Holy Week unfold, their courage melted away And when Jesus died, they hid in an upper room in Jerusalem, their hope shattered, their hearts broken. What had it all been about, they must have wondered. Deflated does not come anywhere close to describing how they would have felt. But then word came. The tomb was empty. Jesus was alive, and he appeared to them. They were renewed in zeal, and before long the church was born. We today are part of that church, the living, breathing body of Christ. Therefore, let us not give in to the spirit of the age and satisfy those who would gladly write us off. Instead, let us take Jesus at his word. And what did he say? In the world, you will have trial and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. On this Palm Sunday, can we follow Jesus, the one who came in love and peace? And can we stand by him through good and bad? Can we join him on the journey to the cross and beyond to the empty tomb, accepting him as the Messiah he is? Or are we like those who welcomed him gladly, but fell away because he didn't dance to their tune or do what they wanted him to do? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We bring our Palm Sunday service to a close by singing the hymn 365. 365. Ride on, ride on in majesty.
Thank you.
May God's love fill your hearts, His peace calm your minds, His strength guide your steps, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.